It's all about Southampton. The So-So Show with Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark.
Hello and welcome to Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show. It's another episode bringing the taste of the city into your downloads, hosted by her, Zoe Hanson.
And him, Simon Clark. This week, we chat to one of the most positive men in the city, Chris Rees from Southampton Marathon. And I don't mean positive as in a COVID sense. You know, he's just really, really upbeat.
I thought 2020 would be a cool year to have on a T-shirt, but I now severely regret that.
And the chef who's turned her hand to something new.
We have a porn star caramel, which is a passion fruit caramel. We have a chocolate dipped strawberry chocolate.
I can't wait to find out more about what she's talking about. Those flavours sound incredible. Before we go any further, we need to answer the question on everybody's lips. Has George the Hamster escaped yet?
Is that really what people are talking about? I mean, we are really bored, aren't we, in lockdown? George the Hamster is not going to escape. You're becoming a bit obsessed with this now, Simon. The hamster, who is now, I don't know, 8 weeks old, he is never going to escape because I'm so paranoid about him getting out. If my little un dares to even turn her head away from him when he's out, I'm like, get back there, pick him up, put him in the cage.
He hasn't melted your heart yet because you've just referred to him as it. If you'd said he, then I would have known that you would have warmed towards him enough. But at the moment, it's just an it. He's a rodent.
I've had a little chat with him, you know, each night. You know, there's nobody else around, so I have a little chat to George. I don't think he's taken to me particularly well. But, yeah, he's doing all right, though. He's doing all right. He did have a banner around his cage the other day because it was my little un's 8th birthday.
Oh, that's right.
So he joined in with the celebrations. He had a balloon and a party popper, you know. So he joined in the celebrations. That was the first lockdown birthday that we've had. And I got quite nervous about it. I know that lots of people have been talking about having lockdown birthdays. And my theory, as with everything else, is sort of, okay, well, it's what you make it, right? And you can be, you know, upbeat about it, and you can say, okay, well, we can do this and we can do that. And I decided to sort of make my little un boss for the day, really. And she decided that she wanted her presents on a treasure hunt in the morning. So we did that. And then I said to her at breakfast time, what do you want for breakfast? You can have whatever you want. And she said, ice cream.
Proper abusing the power of being in charge for the day. I admire that.
Ice cream for breakfast. This is how spoiled she was. I went through some little, what do you call them, sprinkles, and I found little eights. Mm. And so I put them on the ice cream, and she had chocolate sauce. That's a good birthday start, isn't it?
So I have that same thing next weekend when my 14-year-old turns 15. And it's going to be the opposite for me because he's very low maintenance. He doesn't want a lot, but the handful of things he does want, naturally, I can't find them anywhere because they've sold out, because they're in a shipping container somewhere on their way from the Xbox factory to the UK. And the only ones that are here are the ones that the people bought before Christmas and are reselling at a ridiculous price.
Right, right. So you could get an Xbox for the price of a car.
Pretty much. I could get him his first runaround for his 18th birthday with the money that I would be paying for one of these Xboxes now.
I do not doubt it. Well, good luck with that. And have you got anything planned for the day?
Normally he'd do something with his friends, but I asked him last night at dinner, which is normally the only time during the day I see him come down from his man cave. I said, what do you want to do on your birthday? And he was like, nah. So I said, all right, then see you tomorrow. I gave him a wink and off he went back to his bedroom for another 23 hours and 35 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's take the party to his room.
I wouldn't have a problem with that because generally teenage boys' bedrooms are, you know, not a place you want to spend any time.
Yeah,
but right. His is really sweet smelling. He opens the window on a regular basis.
What?
I know.
He's climbing out. That's what it is. He's climbing out and going out in the middle of the night.
Maybe. Right, let's get our first guest on. And it's Chris Rees from ABP Southampton Marathon. Now, we have had Chris on a few times. Unfortunately, every time we've had him on, it's because he's had to move the date of his event.
We've moved the ABP Southampton Marathon to Sunday, 5th of September. So we're keeping the dreams and hopes alive for the runners for an exciting event just at the end of the summer, beginning of autumn. The lovely event will be returning this autumn, and it's all nice and safe, friendly. All of the vaccination's been done. People are, you know, out and about and had a more active summer. So we've moved it. That's the big news today.
Brilliant. Was it originally planned for April?
Yeah, so the original date was Sunday the 25th of April. And back in November, when we were kind of going through all of our planning, this seemed like a good date, and it seemed it was far enough away and everything was all looking good. But obviously due to constant and ongoing changes over Christmas, we had to sort of adapt the plans. And the team have been working really hard with the council and other stakeholders to make sure we could find a date that was suitable. And we think by moving to September, after a good summer and the vaccination trail keeps going strong, September should be a good date for us to be able to get back and to be able to put the event on, obviously with whatever COVID restrictions are currently in place at the time.
What happens to the T-shirts? Do you have the dates on the T-shirts that you get?
I learned my lesson after 2020, Zoe. The T-shirts do not have the date on, you'll be pleased to know. I learned the hard way in 2020.
Did you have six lots of T-shirts, thousands of T-shirts with the wrong date on?
Thousands of T-shirts, yeah, which thankfully lots of people have been signing up for our virtual events. We've got lots of T-shirts have still gone out to the runners, which is good, so it's not been wasted. But I thought 2020 would be a cool year to have on a T-shirt, but I now severely regret that.
Oh, bless you. Do you know what? You've stayed so positive and so happy all the way through this. You know, you've had event after event postponed or then made virtual, but you keep going, Chris. It's just testament to you.
Well, I'm going to use the cheesy line. It's a marathon, not a sprint, Zoe. We've got to keep on going, keep that endurance up. And so it has been tough, but it's not just us. It's all those people who've been, you know, locked up and can't see each other and just can't get out. So I think to be able to give them some hope that there will still be an opportunity to return to normal, to keep practicing, keep training, have something to focus towards is going to make a big difference to those who need to just keep positive and keep moving forward. So, yeah, it would have been easy to just shift it to 2022, but I think we wanted to make sure we at least attempted to try and save 2021 and have something in place for the runners that they can focus on and work towards, really.
Definitely. And the amount of walkers and runners that you see out and about at the moment, you know, it's something for them to focus on. And I know plenty of people doing couch to 5K.
Yeah, so I mean, the last lockdown one and two were probably busier. I appreciate this lockdown is pretty cold and pretty miserable, but there's still so many runners out there. And I've been getting back into running myself, and this lockdown, it's been really good to go and see people's, you know, smiley faces with cold cheeks, but, you know, with gloves and hats on and wrapped up to the nines out there running. And it's just really nice. It's one of those ones that you can go out and go and do on a regular basis. You can do easily with just a pair of running shoes, and it just helps people to get out of the house to be able to exercise. And once you get the endorphins flowing after a good run, you just feel so much better. So I always try and do my runs in the morning to sort of set yourself up for the day. So it's just a good endorphin boost. That's the way to do it.
And I find as well, if you go out for a run early in the morning, you try and be healthy for the rest of the day, because you think, well, what's the point of going out for a run and then eating six donuts? However, that has happened.
Well, that's my excuse for eating six donuts, is because I've been for a run. So.
And is it a 10K, a half marathon and a marathon again?
It is indeed. Which one are you going for this year, Zoe? This is the bit that will get cut and edited, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll see, is what I'm saying.
Well, we've got opportunities for all levels. There's the 10K, the half and the full marathon. So regardless of how well your training is going, we'll be welcoming in open arms for everyone who's a first timer or those who are coming back to come and get a PB after all of this lockdown training. So yeah, lots of opportunities for people to get involved in September.
Chris Rees from the ABP Southampton Marathon, who has moved his event once again, but he's done it with the same good grace and humour that he's done on all the previous occasions he's had to move it.
Yeah.
Due to COVID.
He just gets on with it. Do you know what I mean? He's just one of those people. Right, come on. This is, give me solutions, not problems, you know? Yeah, that's what he's like.
I think that's all you can do in that position, really.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad you asked him about the T-shirts.
He likes coming on. He likes to have a little laugh, right?
He likes to wind you up about getting you involved in one of his events. That's why.
I know. Every time. I don't know how many times I can turn this down.
I got the feeling that if he asks one more time, you're going to say yes.
I'm sure that he will before September. No worries. He is head of the sport group for the City of Culture. I couldn't think of anybody better to do that. But last week, I took part in a City of Culture focus group. It was really interesting.
In what way?
So they were asking, you know, for sort of residents around and about Southampton, and they were saying, okay, so to be City of Culture, what does culture mean to you? What's good about the city? What's bad? What could be better? What barriers do you come up against? So they are speaking to lots and lots of different people all around the city. What was really interesting was lots of people said, don't concentrate on the city centre. Bring all these things out. You know, if you're in Bitton or if you're in Totten, let's have some stuff out there as well. I thought, yeah, great. Good for you.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
However, I don't think I should be in charge of anything.
Okay, why is that?
I am not a good teacher. Homeschooling is hell.
I was going to ask how the homeschooling's going.
It's hell.
At least you've only got a week of it left before half term.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, but then you're going to be back to it again, right? My little one even sent me a note the other day saying, look, I just miss my teachers. They're much more entertaining than you. No offence. You're the best mummy in the world, but you're not the best teacher in the world. I thought, yes, yeah, sweet. But this was after a day where it was crazy. I was on back-to-back Zoom calls for work. We had to get school done. I had a message from HMRC to say if I didn't pay, I don't know, £1 million within a week, then I'd be arrested or something.
Oh, I had one of those as well.
And then you get maths on homeschooling, and it's... you have to divide 96 by 3. Well, my little one just said 32. And I'm like, yeah, but you have to show your workings out. And the way that it was set out, you had to do 54 steps before you got to the answer. And she's like, yeah, but I know the answer. Yes, I know. But we've got to write it in this way.
And it's really difficult trying to explain that to a child when you actually kind of agree with them anyway.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, and then, right, I thought, okay, right, bedtime, that's it. I'm just going to chill out now. And then we're getting ready for bed. And I said, oh, you can wear this again tomorrow. And she said, oh, no. We've got to wear a superhero costume tomorrow morning for our Zoom with our teacher. This is at bedtime, right? So it's knocking on 8 o'clock. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I have got to make a superhero costume for tomorrow morning. It finished me off.
It's good to see that you still have that terror that I always used to get when my two were little, when you suddenly remember it's a dress-up day the next day and you haven't prepped for it, even though she's not having to go into school. But I suppose at least you don't have the horror of finding out at about 8:15 when the kids are walking past your window. And then you think, oh, my word, really? Couldn't she just leave the camera off that morning?
Oh, man, I wish.
I'm here dressed as Wonder Woman, but you can't see me because we're trying to save bandwidth. Mum's on a Zoom call. Oh. The builders are all on the Wi-Fi.
Right.
So I've just kept the camera off.
You know what? Look, homeschooling is stressful. We are not built to be teachers. I didn't sign up for this bit. My friend the other day poured herself a cocktail at 2 p.m. because she just had enough. Thing is, they've got to go back on Zoom at like 2:30. And there she is with a gin in her hand.
Ever so slightly.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing that happened with schooling this week was we were doing maths and Litland said sex instead of six. And she went, oh, I said sex instead of six. And then she went, what's sex? And I said, finish your work.
I'm immediately suspicious of any homeschooling parent I see on a Zoom call after about 2 p.m. that's got a mug of tea in front of them. I don't think that's tea. It certainly wouldn't be if it was me homeschooling.
I did a Zoom the other day with Emily from Yellow Tuxedo, and we were just sort of having a little chat. And And that was at 2 o'clock, and we both had a drink. I think I had a cider and she had a cocktail. That's when she had a gin. But what I hadn't realised, I'd forgotten that I had another Zoom after that, another meeting with somebody else. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it'll be more entertaining for them. I'm very much seeing Zooms as a dance floor now. You know, when you've had a drink and you get up on the dance floor and you're much more confident and, yeah, I'm the best dancer.
That's a great way of looking at it. Now, often in the last few months, we've talked about people who have successfully managed to pivot their business because of COVID, and we love stories about that. Our next guest is someone who has completely pivoted from their profession as a chef into becoming more of a confectioner. Charlotte Bonham has been making the most of her time on furlough.
I started up Bonham's Bonbons about 6 months ago.
Bonham's Bonbons.
Yeah, that's it. That's me.
Great. I mean, your surname sort of lends itself to this anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I went for it, to be honest. I was in the car and just thought, Bonham's Bonbons. Hey, actually, that kind of works. Let's go with that.
What's your background then? You don't just start making bonbons sort of on a Sunday afternoon.
Short story short, like, yeah, I did. So I'm a trained pastry chef. I've been a chef for about 8 or 9 years now. And I've been a pastry chef for about 7 of those years. So I trained at a culinary college in Warwickshire. And then I moved to London when I was 18 and I went and worked in some amazing places in London. And then I also studied at the University of West London and did international culinary arts and specialised in pastry too.
Amazing. And where are you, or should you be working right now?
I should be working at The Pig in Brockenhurst.
Oh, very nice as well. And they know how to do things.
Definitely.
Big ticks there. Credit to you.
Woo!
So tell us about your bonbons.
So bonbons are a chocolate sweet. And generally speaking, it's a chocolate shell. And then inside that chocolate shell, you have a flavoured ganache, which is another, like a flavoured chocolate, essentially, a chocolate mixture. And I mean, it doesn't have to just be ganache. You can put like caramel in there of whatever flavour caramel you want, salted, spiced, however you want it. You can put jellies inside. You could put curds inside.
Yeah.
So I quite like to do a mixture of all those sorts of things. To at the moment, what we're working on is we're doing like different flavoured, like almost themed boxes for the month. You know, as we're talking now, we're in February. So we're doing a Valentine's Day box, which is what I've spent most of my day doing.
Amazing. And what flavours are they?
We have a Porn Star Caramel, which is a passion fruit caramel, which is in dark chocolate. We have a chocolate dipped strawberry chocolate, funnily enough.
Nice.
Which is a strawberry and white chocolate ganache, and then that's inside of dark chocolate as well.
Oh.
And we also have a toffee popcorn flavoured bonbon. So we make a ganache and we pop some popcorn, infuse that into the ganache with some more white chocolate and some caramelised white chocolate as well.
It sounds delicious.
I can confirm they're pretty tasty.
You're making my mouth water, because I'm glad that you've cleared all of this up, because I've seen your bonbons and they are stunning even just to look at. They are a piece of art.
Oh, thank you.
And I'd always thought that bonbons were those toffees covered in some flavoured powder that your nan always had and pulled your teeth out. But we've moved on from there, right?
I mean, in the chocolate world, that's definitely what a bonbon is. But I mean, I am a sucker for a lemon bonbon. That's my favourite sweetie bonbon. But we're focusing on chocolate bonbons right now.
And you've had plenty of orders?
Yeah, like luckily we've been we've done really well, especially over Christmas. We did really, really well. It was really, really heartwarming. Especially being such a young, new business, it was so nice to see people really kind of put their money where their mouth is and like shop small for Christmas and support local businesses. It was really, really good to see.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for that, Charlotte. Where can we find your bonbons?
You can find them at bonhamsbonbons.co.uk, which is our website. Or if you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can find us at Bonham's Bonbons.
Brilliant. Well, that is wonderful. Thank you so much. Good luck with it all.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, hands up who wants chocolate now. That was Charlotte Bonham talking about her new bonbon business, which is one of the things that, which is her new lockdown pastime, while she's been on furlough, like so many other people who've moved into doing other things or pivoted their business or skills.
And they look stunning. You know, you must look her up on Instagram. These chocolates are amazing. Like I said, a piece of art. They really are.
And I always thought bonbons were just like the kind you used to get for a quarter at the sweet shop, not as in cocoons of chocolate with ganache inside.
Yeah, nice, eh? Yeah, all right, I'm starving. We've got to finish this up, so I've got to go.
Okay.
Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show.
I tell you what's made me laugh this week, right? We posed a question on our socials. The song that was number one on your seventh birthday will define 2021 for you. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Right. So it's almost like a prediction of how your year's going to go. And mine was Queen, Under Pressure. I mean, geez.
That fits in with the homeschooling.
Yes, it does. Oh, and every other bit of my life.
Well, ironically, mine is Human League, Don't You Want Me? And I can't get any work at the moment. So that's pretty much on it for me.
Oh, no, you make me feel so bad.
Oh, it's cool.
Really
don't worry.
Sad.
I'll get work in the summer when eventually things turn around. And then I'll have too much work. And then I'll be moaning about having too much work. Actually, I won't be moaning about having too much work. I'll be taking every little bit of work that's coming to try and make up for the last 12 months.
Too right. On Instagram, there's been some brilliant ones. Holmesley83 said, New Kids on the Block hanging tough. How apt. Big Win Southampton said, Purple Rain. I did think, oh my gosh, that's all we need now, isn't it? Imagine if the rain started purple, you'd be like, okay, it's just another thing to deal with, isn't it? Girl About Hampshire, Back for Good. Does this mean normal life will be back for good?
Oh, please.
Fingers crossed, mate. Emma Louise says, Europe, the final countdown.
Although I thought that was last year.
Yes, it should have been, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then on Facebook, there was Jane Trenwith, who says hers was Run DMC, It's Like That. And I think, yeah, you really want a song that's called It Is What It Is.
That's the closest song you're going to get, when you think about it.
But I think that Rose's one absolutely nails it. So when she was 7 years old, on her birthday, the number one song was The Police and Don't Stand So Close to Me. They are social distancing in a song.
Who knew that the song that was number one on your seventh birthday would be such a clear definition of your 2021? On the subject of our socials, by the way, if you haven't entered our competition yet to win doorstep cocktails, the deadline is on Sunday the 14th, Valentine's Day. So drop by our Facebook and our Instagram.
Yes.
And we could be delivering cocktails not just to your house, but your house and three of your friends' houses too.
This is brilliant. So doorstep cocktails are wonderful. They are absolutely delicious. And we will deliver five cocktails to your house, your mate's house, your other mate's house, and your other mate's house as well.
Yeah, they're going to be rushed off their feet with all of the attention that they've gained off the back of this. But we're looking forward to announcing a winner in our next podcast who's going to be receiving 20 cocktails across four addresses, theirs and their friends as well. So get on that before Sunday night.
And if you go on to Doorstep Cocktails site, if you use the code SOSO, you will get a free porn star martini if you make an order.
Do they give you the Prosecco shot with it? And do they tell you what to do with the Prosecco shot as well?
Apparently so.
Excellent. Now, listen, thanks a lot for your company again. It's great to be hearing from you on our social media. And of course, we're not just there with the posts. We're there behind the scenes as well. So if you're struggling a little bit, then drop us a DM and we'd love to have a chat. And if you know of anything happening in the city or the surrounding area that we should be talking about, you think people could benefit from knowing, please tip us off about that as well. We're always up for talking to new, exciting businesses and hearing about your new ideas. If you've pivoted during lockdown, we'd love to know how it's going for you.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and make sure you share it with your mates as well. Tell everybody about it. Let's bring Southampton together. Let's all be positive together. We can get through this. Come on.
Have a great week, Zoe.
And you, Simon.
You've been listening to Zoe Hanson and Simon Clark on Southampton's podcast, The So-So Show.